like to thank the organizers for inviting. Peter's not here, but still I have to say some kind words about him. So many of you like praise his work on hyperplane arrangements, and of course it's very well known, but nobody mentioned his earlier work on the topology of three manifolds, or Seifert manifolds and C-star singularities. I think when I was still in Russia in the early 70s, this is how I learned the subject, just from his papers and paper of Phil Wegerach about surface C-star singularities. And I studied this and made some kind of contribution, and I think this is got me a job at Michigan, so I really have to thank him very much for that, because this is thanks to this work on C-star singularity I got my job in Ann Arbor. Yeah. But of course, hyperplane arrangement, just I'm not really, probably some of you know and guess this, that I'm not really an expert and consider myself an amateur in this field. And just to prove the point, I don't even know what's the definition of hyperplane arrangement. Because some of you write as hyperplane arrangement as an ordered set of hyperplanes, and in some papers you write as just ordered set of hyperplanes. So what's the definition? Because this is very important if you try to think about the modular space of hyperplane arrangement, because they're completely different. So if you think about arrangement as just an ordered set of hyperplanes, of course, by duality, you think them as a n points. And this will be like, that will be r-dimensional space. And then, of course, the modular space, you consider them up to projective transformations. And this is just one space, which is rather easy if you, for example, consider points in a general position, which corresponds to generic arrangement. This is a rational variety, it's a very simple variety. But if you look at them as another set of hyperplanes, and so here is now, by duality, you have to consider them, this is like dual, is an ordered set of points in the corresponding dual space. This is completely, again, also after projective transformation. This is completely different matter. And for example, like we have some, like you, every field has its own pet problems. In algebraic geometry, a pet problem is rationality problem. If you have, give me a modular space of some algebraic object, so we like to consider whether the space is rational, whether just the field of rational functions, so this variety is a purely transcendental extension of constant. In other words, whether this is birational isomorphic to affine space or projective space. And this is kind of one of the hardest problems in algebraic geometry. So this is easy. So this is space is really, so modular space of ordered hyperplane arrangement is a rational variety, but this is very hard problem. So even say in the case I is equal to 1, when we're talking about collection of n unordered points in projective line, this was problem only solved in the 90s, I think something around this, by Bogomolov and Katsila. So they proved that just a kind of symmetric product of Pivar marked as projective space is this is kind of birationally considered, just I'm not talking about like JT quotient, just as birationally, is rational variety. And this is really very hard problem. For example, it proves that the modular space of hyperelliptic curves, if you take n even number of points, this corresponds to hyperelliptic curves, like Riemann series, which double covers of P1 branched along this even number of points, and it's a rational variety. So for larger r, say for example, r equal to 2, if you're talking about an ordered arrangement of lines in projective plane, kind of birationally, so you can speak about generic arrangement of n lines, this is known only in the case, there is a trivial case. Some of these cases really follow from this case, but the first non-trivial case is 6 lines in P2. And so I proved it. And n equal to 7 was proved by Katsila. And this is it. So there's no other examples unknown. So for example, we don't know whether 8 points, 8 lines in P2 considered as an unordered set, modular projective equivalence, is a rational variety. We don't know that. Again, this always variety was called unirational. They are covered by projective space. So the field of rational functions is a subfield of purely transcendental extension. Of course, it's easy, but this is what's called, but we know in higher dimension, unirational is very far from being rational. So just, so there are no methods in algebraic geometry, no general methods which let you kind of push some buttons, apply some tools, and say whether it's rational. Every method, every case is just its own some kind of ingenious geometry or ingenious remark, or just you must be very, very lucky to find such tool to prove it. This is very beautiful proof. My proof is really rather dull, computational, but this is very, very beautiful proof. I think just suggest. I don't have time to explain it, but it's really very, very beautiful proof using representation theory.
So
Why?
Where?
I don't know. I can find a reference, but okay. You look on Katsil, I think, just it's one of his papers. It's just you're lucky. You see, just while you're lucky, I'll tell you because it's very beautiful. Maybe I won't have time really to finish what I plan to finish, but I can't really resist not to tell you. Look at 7 points. Take the tension bundle of P2 and twist it by 1. So tensor it by all 1. Okay? And look at C2. Second chain class. And just it's miracle, the number is 7. So you show that every 7 points in P2 are realized as a zero for section of general section of this bundle. And then you compute just how many sections you have. Again, this kind of miracle, this will be 15 dimensional irreducible representation of SL3. So of course SL3, the group of projective transformation, acts on the P2, and of course it's linearized. It acts on this bundle. And then just you see that just it's really excellent. And this is just, now the problem becomes rationality of a projective space associated to V15 mod SL2 and just SL3. And then the Katsila proves that it's rational variety. So it's just luck, just so this for just n equal to 8, no such method was, or no trick has been found. Okay, so what were, but really, let me speak now to this modular space, because this is really rather hard, and I talk now, I'll take this definition of arrangement as an order set of points. So what I want to do, just of course, I want to study the modular space. For this, of course, I, not necessarily generic, I fix the type of arranging, and of course, I do, in this kind of room, I don't need to tell you what does it mean. So I can define it using, for example, matroid associated to this arrangement or lattice arrangement. So consider all arrangements of in PR of n hyperplanes with given combinatorial type defined by corresponding this is all I have to check. Oh yeah. So I would like to find some kind of reasonable computification of this space. So what of course I always mean just as modular projective group. So just I really want to consider this type and just some sort of give us kind of the structure of algebraic variety to the orbits corresponding to this T. Of course the, for example for generic arrangement you can do it by using the JT quotient. So just you consider like P R and copy and divide by say SL plus 1 and do the JT quotient and of course for this you have to pick up some kind of numbers which define linearization of the space. You have to embed the space into projective space kind of equivalently and then take the usual quotient by linear action and of course there's no natural linearization and so there are many JT quotient, many computation and they don't make much sense even in the case of n is equal to I is equal to 1 because some kind of degenerate arrangement of points on P1 it means some points collide and you kind of just lose the number of points it's kind of rather boring instead of like 6 points you're just getting to like 5 points but of course there are much better computation which was introduced by Knudsen which corresponds to stable rational curves and this is just the famous modular space M bar 0M. So what I have to do, for example, in the case of 6 points, So if you want to see how the stick degenerates, like will be n is equal to 6. The way to do it is just is very nice. What you do is you take your 6 points, consider canonical class of P1, and add the 6 points. So you're like, that H will be just divisor, which is the sum of this. And take the linear system. And of course, this is the same as kind of in sophisticated way. It's log H, shift of your logarithmic differentials corresponding to this arrangement. You take this linear system and it maps your P1 to some quartic rational curve sitting in P4. What you can do just you take this quartic in P4 and degenerate it to two conics, which intersect at one point. It's kind of very simple, like this curve degenerates in P-union of two conics, still quartic. But it's reducible, we kind of take 3 points here and take 3 points here. And this is the kind of case which corresponds to two triple points. So that means these 3 points collide and these 3 points collide. So in this quotient, this corresponds to strictly semi-stable points when you take the kind of democratic linearization, all numbers are equal to 1. Of course, another way to degenerate 6 points on P1, you just degenerate your quartic into a cubic in a line. Take the twisted cubic, take a curve which is degree 3 and take a line. And you get this, and then you put 4 points here and 2 points here. And so you can really see just all this kind of, and this is just how this space, I'll say more details about this thing. This is how you see, there will be some kind of space parameterizing this kind of configuration, and there will be even universal family over the space. So, and just the fibers of universal family, like if it's non-degenerate arrangement, will be just on a 6, like n points on P1, distinct point. But other singular fibers will be this kind of fibers where your curve degenerates. In fact, just it's very beautiful. Even you can really look what is complement of the arrangement in this very simple example, right? So, of course, this is complement of arrangement, just P1 with 6 points deleted, right? Look, but why not to consider the same kind of thing? Now, topologically, of course, you can throw away 3 points from here, 3 points from here. Like, look at fundamental group. It will be like bouquet of two punctured spheres, right? In fact, it even doesn't change. Your fundamental group will be the same. So this is your complement of arrangement. You see, if you really let these points coincide, I told you it's really dull, right? Because now what's your fundamental, so now we're starting complement to 5 points instead of 6, right? But here it's really interesting, right? In fact, hopefully I'll have some time. In fact, you can define local coefficient system here and do hypergeometric equations and so on. Just it's all kind of extended to this complexification, because now your arrangement is just reducible, no problem. Okay, just your complements will be reduced, you can do the same kind of thing. You can study arrangement instead of cosmology, instead of local coefficients. So it turns out that just so very recently, independently, in the work of Paul Hawking and Valery Alexeyev, and say other collaborators, but I think this was the main idea. This kind of idea of Mumford or Knudsen space M0 M bar, generalizing to any arrangement, was really developed, and just it really gives you a very, very beautiful picture. So it's the same kind of idea. I stopped thinking about degeneration of my arrangement, I just kind of allowing like triple or some quartical points and still considering P2. I have to consider this kind of my lines degenerate, but now you go away from your plane. Instead of plane, you now will get some kind of union of surfaces and kind of you redistribute these lines along this kind of surfaces. And this is, will be, you'll see, just very beautiful because it's really related nicely to all other things which are always related to arrangements like toric geometry. So what you do just you, in fact, this is kind of there's a more general situation. So this is a notion of what's called a stable pair in algebraic geometry. And this is comes as a kind of part of this minimal model program. So I take this X will be just normal, say for a minute will be just normal algebraic variety. Or you may just assume and say smooth, if you want. And B will be divisor, but I just take this divisor with, I take as any combination of reducible component, but these numbers will be rational numbers, which I assume satisfy this. And they are rational. So there's no problem to divide this thing, this called Q divisor. And I assume just as a just reduced divisor, just sum of this BIs is normal crossing. So for example, in your favorite case, this will be like BIs, of course, will be hyperplanes. And this is the case where it's just generic hyperplane, just it's a really normal crossing divisor. So I say that this is a pair is stable if two conditions satisfied. In fact, they're just stable and just as so this kind of pair has what's called a lot of canonical singularities. Now you see, just I'm also amateur in this theory too, I think I forgot the name. Log terminal, I think, yeah. Log canonical. So this means the following thing, just this is just what you do, just your so your variety may be just say for example, this variety it's not necessarily normal, so this is not necessarily normal crossing. So no necessarily just reduce device, sorry. So this also variety may be singular, so just what we find the resolution of this such as just the preimage, the proper transform of this divisor is a normal crossing. So just it's really all components intersect transversely. And then we write the formula for canonical class of X prime. We assume the following properties. Just this is kind of fractional divisor. We assume there will be some integer. So if you take kx plus this b, this will be Cartier divisor. And we also assume this is ample. So just this divisor becomes real good divisor, Cartier divisor, locally given by equation. And if you increase M, it will give you embedding into projective space. So this is also assumed. So now you, there is makes sense to talk about what's canonical class. This is what we say non-singular. And I write down this form, this will be a proper transform. And this will be equal to proper transform of canonical class of X, which defines somehow as a Q divisor, plus your B. And there will be some difference between this and this, and which can be written as a linear combination of exceptional divisors of this resolution. This is what you blow up when you resolve. And so the condition that just all these numbers must be equal, less than equal, negative one. Okay, this is what is called log canonical singularity. So just if you apply just something else, there's some differences like a log terminal and so on. So you just put this condition on this coefficient, say less than equal to one. Again, you can do the exercise and take your hyperplane arrangement and say just if you take all these coefficients is equal to one and take this pair which is consists of your hyperplanes and this is your projective space, then it's a stable pair if and only if it's a non-generic arrangement. So it's almost never a stable pair. But if you take your X, which is blown up, let's talk, for example, of case of like lines for simplicity, blow up all multiple points of your arrangement. So this multiplicity at the point greater than 2, that's what I call the multiple, like triple, quadruple points, and so on. And get, of course, in this case, a surface, like this will be like blow up of Q2. So you get to now consider your arrangement, just blow up on arrangement, and consider the union of your proper transform of your lines and add this exceptional curves. So take the divisor, which will be pi minus 1 of your h, which proper transform of your lines on a blow up, plus exceptional curve. And now it's a normal crossing divisor, because if you blow up like triple point, this is what you get. So it's now it's only double points, of course, in this arrangement. So this is normal divisor, and you check this has now become stable pair. So together with like X and this pair, and this kind of call is kind of H tilde, the stable pair. Okay. unless I think there is a condition of ampleness is not necessarily satisfied, you have to exclude this case. If you have a kind of 2 points, and this will be the spancel of lines for 2 points, and this is spancel of lines for 2 points, and there will be line joining. This arrangement is not ample. You have to blow down proper transform on this line. Except this arrangement, it's always this condition is also satisfied. So this divisor will be ample divisor, and this will be stable. Clear. So of course, this definition somehow doesn't work for Knudsen space, because your curve here, when you get there, are not normal. So there is a kind of version of this which you define for not necessarily variety, which not necessarily normal, just maybe not normal. So what you do is you normalize this variety, and then kind of require that none of these components lie in the double locus. You require just all your singularity will be like double locus, codimension 1 and multiplicity 2. You don't put this irreducible component in this double locus, and assume under normalization becomes a stable pair. And then this includes this kind of definition. For example, this will be stable pair. The union of two lines of the 6 points, this will be my B, 6 points, this will be my X, the union of two lines is a stable pair. So as soon as you have this definition, so you want to make the modular space of stable pairs. So there will be space, modular space. You can define this kind of functor, stable pairs. And make this modular space of stable pairs. And the crucial here is you want to, of course, to prove this is separated and say complete, it's projective variety. So this is what's called completification. And the crucial thing just is you have to use the minimal model proper in every dimension if you want to do hyperplane arrangement. In dimension 2, this will be okay, it will be minimal program in dimension 3. What you have to show is the following lemma, which it's really not lemma, this is really main call is from the whole apparatus or machinery of this minimal model program. So you have to show that if you have a family of a disk of stable pairs, it will be kind of family over puncture disk of the stable pairs, then this kind of family can be extended to family over the whole disk, such that the central fiber is still stable pair. And the minimal model program shows that such extension exists at most one. And this proves separateness of the space. And also it tells you if you allow extension of this disk, what's called stable reduction, kind of you replace your parameter z to parameter z power e, and can do the kind of base change, then it exists. So it really proves your completeness. And so using minimal model program, you show there is this modular space of stable pairs, which is a complete variety and also separated. And then with more technique, you prove it's projective variety. So you can now start talking that your modular space must look about the computation of modular space of arrangement inside of the modular space of stable pairs. Okay? So for example, if you fix the type of arrangement, for example, let's talk about lines only, I think, just. So if you fix type of arrangement of lines, you block all multiple points and get yourself a stable pair. And then start varying this inside of the modular space of stable pairs and see what you get. Okay? So this will be like picture this story. Take like your, for example, P2 with like triple points, say some lines with triple points, blow it up, consider as a stable pair, and I'll see what will be the whole family of stable pairs, which includes yours. Okay? And of course some of these members of this family, some of these members in this modular space, you'll get some kind of a reducible arrangement. So this will be like you see, like your plane will split into union of rational surfaces and your lines will be redistributed along this component. So, but I'll give you of course example in a moment. Okay, so of course this kind of theory of stable pairs was known before Tevilev and Alexei, but they kind of made this kind of example out of hyperplane arrangement and found exactly what will be the members of this family, so how to see what will be degeneration of hyperplane arrangement. And the picture is very beautiful. So it's related to what's called Kapranov-Chow compactification. So what you do is, of course, you all know how to think about arrangement as a vector subspace of dimension n, right? Inside of the the vector space of dimension. If this is arrangement in the, say, P in R, so this will be space of dimension R plus 1 in C of n lines, right? So you just embed your PR into, you take this kind of linear functions which define your arrangement and consider this as a subspace of CN, right? And so this just kind of your arrangement gives you a midpoint in the, again, this is for some stupid reason, it's called the MacPherson, Gilfand-MacPherson correspondence, but of course this is just Bertini, it's 19th century the mathematics, I think it is. Okay, so just you get a point in the Grassmannian, okay? So every arrangement defines a point in the Grassmannian. So in Grassmannian you have a torus of dimension n, which acts by scaling the cardinals in Cn. Of course, acts non-faithfully, but just really n minus one dimensional torus. So what you do is you take this orbit, or this point, and take this orbit and then close it inside of Grassmannian. And you get algebraic subvariety of your Grassmannian. You compute the cosmology class inside of cosmology group of Grassmannian, and then find all algebraic effective cycles with the same cosmology class. They're parameterized by what's called Chow scheme. So it will be just, if you take this kind of, there will be a Chow scheme parameterizing this kind of algebraic variety. So just you have to fix the topological class. Just, okay. So this will be projective variety, again, it's very old construction algebraic geometry. So which includes this variety as one of these members, right? So what you do just is just now the close there. So close the set of such orbit. So you start with, like, for example, with generic arrangement, or just you fix the type, start with one, and then, of course, if you fix the type, the cosmology class will be the same. So all these kind of points, all these kind of orbits will be of the same type, or the same topological type, or the same cosmology class. So you consider the set of m closeness of set of such orbit. And Chow. Okay. And I guess this helps the projective subvariety, which is Grassmannian. And so, of course, it contains the open set, so this will contain the open set, which is my really space R and T. So this will be. But what, again, so what's the impact? Just even say you look at the very beginning, so how you think about marginal space of arrangement. It's kind of very, very bad. If you're really thinking about as the points in projective dual space, right, there is no universal family. You kind of get last of your Hatter planes. So there's a universal family of points, right, but you can't really do this kind of projective duality for degenerate arrangements, and you can't really extend it. So there's no really universal family, which what we always want to do when we have a marginal space. But over this space, there is a marginal space. Over Chow scheme, it's a fine marginal space, and there's a universal family, so there will be our Chow, will be some kind of family here. And who are they? Of course, they're our open subset, they are closure of these orbits, and this was called, they will be toric variety. And they correspond to matrix, to matroid polytop corresponding to your vector space. So you take the matroid polytop. And this will be just toric variety, which P of this delta, which corresponds to this type. And this will be toric variety associated to this matroid polytop. So this is over this thing. This is just, of course, very, very classical, I think. This is goes back to Klein. If you take this kind of construction in the case of four points on P1, then your Grassmannian will be just, this will be, so what you'll get, this is what's called the tetragonal complex in classical algebraic geometry. You see, this will be the set of, the orbits will consist of the set of line which intersect the cardinal tetrahedron in P3 with the given cross ratio. You collect all lines in P3, in this case this will be Grassmannian, will be lines in P3, which intersect four cardinal hyperplanes at four points, and these four points will keep the cross ratio fixed. And this was called tetragonal complex, so it's really just no books about line complexes, classical books are not in such, there will be a chapter about this kind of three-dimensional varieties, yeah. So in general, I think this is, I think, Kapranov called them leaf complexes. I don't know reason, he doesn't tell us. Okay, but this is, of course, just the open piece, which we, before we close. So now you close it here, in this Chow variety, and get, of course, still the universal family. And ask what will be the fibers, degenerate fibers, like this will be just toric varieties. It turns out they're what's called stable toric varieties. So there is a notion like stable Russian curve. It was extended by Alexeyev to the notion of stable toric varieties. There will be kind of union of toric varieties. And then what they do is just you take this matroid polytope and subdivide it in matroid, take this matroid subdivision, polyhedral subdivision, and then it will be union of toric varieties which corresponds to this subdivision. Okay? So the union of toric varieties. It's still not what we want because they're too big. So even for example in the case of lines and then four lines in P1, this variety is three-dimensional. But we want to see this kind of picture, which is of course one-dimensional. So what you do, just this is the notion of what's called visible contour of Kapranov. You pick up a point, take in Grassmannian, take this Grassmannian GRN plus one, and take a subset of all, say, subspaces which contain 0.111. Okay, so all, for example, lines which pass through one point. For example, in your case, like I is equal to 1, and consider all lines which contains one point. And of course, this is isomorphic to Grassmann variety, this is Schubert sub-variety of condition just will be passed through one point. So this will be a Grassmannian of GR minus 1 n. Okay, so this will be just Schubert sub-variety, very simple sub-variety, subspaces which contain given point, 1, 1, 1. And what you do just, you take this, all this kind of fibers, take fiber, and intersect this variety. It turns out, in some sense, though this fiber is reducible, it's union of toric varieties, you intersect this as kind of transversal intersection. And what you get, just you get, for example, in the case of I is equal to get, you get this kind of pictures. Okay, so now you decrease dimension, because now all your, you get this kind of subfamily here. Say Y in chi, which really corresponds to fibers. And now you, the same kind of closure in the Chow quotient of the space will parameterize varieties which are intersectional, the historic varieties with this special Grassmannian. So in particular, they are all embedded in this Grassmannian. Okay? So what's really beautiful is how they're embedded there. So it's really generalized this simple fact. So in fact, on these varieties, on this kind of fibers, so this contour, so this, there will be this kind of, now, say map, say pi. So this is pi minus one of some, and this will be like a, some really, say, point type. So now fiber of this already will cut down the dimensions. So fiber. So there is just a really stable, so this will be stable pair. So it's formed by the which consists of variety will be just intersection of this Grassmannian with the fiber. And pair you need also divisor. And of course in the toric varieties here there is a toric boundary. So it's a union of toric varieties, so every toric variety has natural boundary, the complement of the torus. Okay? So intersect the boundary with this Grassmannian will get to your divisor on these fibers. So all they come as a stable pairs, just it will be like union of toric varieties intersected by this Grassmannian, and just and Grassmannian intersects also the boundary, so just this will be your boundary gives you divisor B. And this will be stable, and it will be stable pair. And on this stable pair, this will be again reducible variety, but you can define nevertheless what is log 1, log B. And this will be, of course, vector bundle. This is like what's again one of your favorite, I guess, subjects, this logarithmic differentials. So this is still defined on this variety, and this is a vector bundle of a rank R. And vector bundle gives you embedding. So this will embed, it's really like line bundle, vector bundle we can use to embed varieties into Grassmannians. So it embeds this fiber, embeds the fiber, and this Grassmannian of R minus 1. And now what was my Grassmannian? N. Okay? So this is just G, the Schubert cell. Somewhere I think, it was a. Why I'm doing this? This is just to go to CN, right? This is right, Grossman. This wasn't right, right? So this, it was r plus 1, n plus 1, right? And it becomes grn, right? M minus 1, right? Yeah, this is right. Okay, it should work. Like r is equal to 1, and we have 4 points, it must be. Yeah, that's right. So this becomes the G to 4, like usual graph. Yeah, that's right. So this is G minus. So this is GR. GR. Sorry. So this. I always have problems with it. So this is G plus. This was G plus 1N originally, right? When I take the sugar cell, it becomes GRN minus 1. This right. Okay. This right. So then it embeds this kind of a fiber into this Grassmannian. So this so all your fibers becomes in Grassmannian. So let me just give you example. And this is how we degenerate arrangement. So like let's take the really simple example. Let's take the r is equal to 2, and n is equal to 5. So just 5 lines in projected plane, and just let's see, we require just this line has a arrangement has one triple point. Okay, so this is just simplest degeneration. Just it acquires one triple point, this arrangement. So what it will be your degeneration? So just this will of course degeneration of generic arrangement of 5 lines, represent like 5 lines on projective plane. So but when you degenerate, so just it represents to the following thing. You take the P2. And take a line on P2. And of course, this has self-intersection is equal to 1. So you can glue P2 and surface, what's called minimal rolled surface, F1. This is a blow up of one point on P2, for which it has a kind of P1 bundle, but self-intersection of exceptional section is equal to negative 1. So on this surface, this section has self-intersection negative 1. Considered as a line on the line, it's intersection, self-intersection 1. This all is true. If you have a double line, then considered as a line as curve, considered as a curve on one surface and take self-intersection, consider this curve on the other surface, they add up to zero, okay? So consider this kind of single thing. So it's a union of projective plane and F1 surface kind of glued along the line. So this is an exceptional line for F1, and this is just the usual line on your P2. So what you do, just you take this kind of, there will be three lines here, so what the divisor will be, you consider the lines on P2, this will be three lines, and on this P1 will be just the corresponding ruling of this, which really intersect at this point where these lines intersect this line. And you also have two lines which will be a section which disjoint from the exceptional section. So this will be configuration. So just again, so maybe it's kind of you don't like it, it looks for you too complicated, but it's not. Okay, if you live in this world. So you see, instead of really considering my projective plane, the whole point of this kind of approach, I allow to generate my plane. Okay, so like I allow to generate my P1 to the rational stable curve, I allow to degenerate my plane. And so instead of projective plane, I consider a more complicated surface, which is reducible. It's union of projective plane and F1. In fact, they're all embedded in the corresponding Grassmannian on G25. All this kind of picture sits on G25 embedded by this logarithmic shift. And so now my configuration of lines, in fact, I have to consider this kind of, this is degeneration of my, this is what I see from this kind of three lines. These three lines corresponds to this line, curves. Ruling plus a line. Another line which joins this at triple point will be this and this line, this and this line. And there will be two, these lines. This is two lines, I put them on F1. So this is the picture. Not only this, I know there is a problem, for example, with hyperplane arrangement. Why this, I'm really, really excited about this. What do you do with multiple lines? Of course, this is kind of a very popular question for you, right? So what do you do with multiple lines? Suppose you have arrangement of lines. Of course, whatever projective complication you find, whether it's something closed complication you have to allow lines coincide. Otherwise, you will never close. It won't be very closed. Whatever you do, just creating multiple points is not enough. You have to let lines collide if you want to compactify, right? So, but when you collide lines, it's really awful, because what do you do? Just you can, instead of six lines, you now have arrangement of five lines, right? But of course, the points, the dual points, they have more freedom to collide, because they can collide in directions. You blow up this, for example, point on P2, and now your points collide, just depending how it approaches to this point, right? With lines, you don't have this luck, right? There's no way to collide in different directions, because they're one-dimensional, one-codimensional subvarieties, right? So even this is not defined. So just you can't really collide lines in direction. You can collide points, but there is no duality here, okay? So what to do, okay? But this approach deals with this easily, absolutely easily. For example, you take configuration of six lines on P2, but allow one line to be doubled, okay? So just you take now the other lines will become generic, okay? So what you get is you get really very nice picture. What you do is you take P2 cross, say, C or cross the disk, and take the kind of fiber over disk will be the P2 projective plane. And again, just it's really similar to that, you just blow up this thing. And I get the union of projective plane, you get the same kind of picture, union of projective plane and then one surface. And what you do just you take this kind of four lines will be again generic ones, and they correspond four lines on this plane, and you add these rulings, but your multiple lines becomes two lines on this part of the surface. So it now disappears. And you see this is the right number of moduli. So like if you argue with points and you allow points to be blown up and do this in direction, it's just still codimensional one subvariety. When two points collide, but you allow direction. You don't lose parameters, just as codimensional one. But if you allow line collide, then you lose just points. You don't do this kind of direction, you lose two dimension. It will be like five lines instead of six lines on P2, right? It's codimension two, right? But in this case, all moduli are counted, all parameters are counted, it's really divisor. So this kind of degeneration with double line becomes codimensional one subvariety in the moduli space. Okay? So it's really absolutely the right thing. And you can consider all your logarithmic differentials on this guy. You can consider the local coefficient system. You can work with this with multiple arrangements. But you have to, the price you pay, you work on some object which you may not like because it's not a projective plane, but it's just, this is just the union of this kind of rational surface, but you can. So how much time I have? 5 minutes. Okay, so of course this was supposed to be the whole section of my talk. But I don't have time. Is it one more? So of course I really intended to talk about hypergeometric equation. So what do you do with how you extend this hypergeometric period mapping for this kind of arrangement and higher dimensional arrangement and also degenerate arrangement? So how to extend the period map? So what you usually do, just of course you take this local coefficient system on the complement of arrangement. So what I do, I think I just first I blow up the mount. So let's work with like projective, say, lines. So first of all, I just do the, and then you start to want to compute this cosmology on you. Again, it's a little different from what you use Orlik-Solomon algebra, but I think I consider that all these kind of trivial resonances, and it's really the same thing. And you want to compute this cosmology of your U with coefficients in a local system. And you prove that just if there's no resonance, if you extend, you can really extend by zero of your local system to the whole P2, just will be no monodromy along the hyperplanes, then just you get this kind of nice thing. This is really zero if I is not equal to kind of general dimension, like dimension of your, yeah, right? And only the top dimension is equal. And then this top dimension just has this very nice formula. So X will be omega 1 log X. And this will be invertible shift, which corresponds to this character. So you extend this kind of local coefficient system by zero. And I assume now this is a normal crossing divisor, so I have to blow up the multiple points. So this is what I do. And I have to work with stable pair. All this works with stable pair. So if I have degenerate arrangement, I do this kind of a complement on the blow up. Okay, because this allows to consider it as a stable, as a normal crossing divisor. And then by Deligne theorem, I can compute this. This will be just a invertible shift, which is kind of you take extension by zero of this coefficient system and take all x and consider this kind of invertible shift. And you see just this is kind of this is a so this is really gives you Hodge numbers of your arrangement. So just you can redefine using the distinctives of your kind of your U to be dimension on the spaces. Okay? So of course one good space, just when there's one good case, when just always Hodge number, then the top dimensional Hodge number, so in this case, okay, maybe I don't really need it. I don't need lines, I think it's called any dimension. Then top dimensional Hodge number of your U is equal to 1. And of course, also you can really see this is just happens when this will be corresponds. So this is the P. This is corresponds to top dimensional. Q is equal to 0, P is equal to 1. This is just, for example, happens with this omega P log H. Log H is just trivial shift on X. And then just it means it just will be just 1. This is kind of exactly my hypergeometric integral. Will be hypergeometric form. It will be kind of unique form, which is multi-dimensional form, which you can use to make the period map. So you give me arrangement, and I take this one-dimensional subspace sitting inside of the whole cohomology group, and gives me a point in projective space. And I try to map modular space of arrangement to the projective space by choosing how this one-dimensional subspace, like 1 h r 0 chi, sits in the whole space like h r u l. Right. And this was hypergeometric period mapping case. So assigns to it's all works when you have a point on P1, and just this is exactly the condition. So just now, of course, your chi corresponds to certain numbers which you have to attach to lines. So remember in the usual hypergeometric story, this will be numbers you have to attach to these lines, which will be rational numbers which satisfy that sum of them is equal to, say, in case of line, just 2. Right? And all these numbers are between 1 and 0. Right? So this is gives me a condition of no resonance. Okay? And this condition gives me just because of just character of your complement of an hyperplane. So in this case, you also ask, what will be this coefficient system when this happens? And then I have a hypergeometric integral, I have a period mapping. And it's very beautiful. So just what you have to do, just remember, you have normal crossing. Okay? So just you're adding to your to arrangement not only proper transform, but also exceptional divisors. So you have to kind of label your lines on arrangement, and also you have to additionally label lines which come from exceptional divisors, and say when what will be just numbers which defines a local coefficient system, which defines your period mapping. Yeah. And it just turns out this is just condition is the following thing. This will be, this is just the numbers which you assign to lines which proper transform of your lines of your arrangement. Or hyperplanes, this will be R plus 1. The same condition as at Billing most, but you have to now add up to R plus 1, the I-th dimension. And also you're kind of adding this number to every exceptional divisor, which corresponds to your multiple point. And if you sum up all MI such that your point belongs to this I hyperplane, this must be equal to R. Okay? So if you put these numbers on exceptional divisors, which add up to this MI, which pass through this kind of, to this exceptional point. For lines, at least, this is really true. So you get the right local coefficient system, and you get the period mapping. So you ask, what is the generalization of Dilling-Moster theory? Okay? So whether, just so for example, you can uniformize it by ball, but unfortunately not. So just if you go to dimension 2, the image of period mapping is never a ball. It's always a proper subvariety of the ball, of the complex ball. But sometimes it's really very nice subvariety, just sometimes it's locally symmetric space. So for example, take 6 lines on P2, say in generic position, put all numbers equal to 1/2. So they add up to 3, okay? And then you take the period map using this hypergeometric function, and you go to modular space of K3 surfaces. And this will be just K3 surfaces, which called Yoshida K3 surface. Blow up double car of P2 branch along your arrangement. And so then modular space is a really nice locally symmetric space, and your arrangement of 6 points, 6 lines on P2 is uniformizable. It's a quotient of, it's locally symmetric space. It's a quotient of type 4 domain by some discrete arithmetical group. So just, but this is completely open. So just, we don't know any other examples. So just, for example, another case would be take 9 lines on P2 and mark them all with 1/3. So So then add up to 3 and see whether just the marginal space of 9 lines in P2 by period map goes to some projective space. You can compute easily, of course. And what's the image of this? Is it a locally symmetric space or not? But it's completely open because we don't know whether there's a Varchenko theorem which tells you in which cases this is local embedding. It's a kind of local Torelli theorem. But there's nothing about the image. Okay, thank you very much. What? MGM. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do this kind of, this theory of stable pairs gives you, where is it? I think it's already erased, right? You can do any pairs, of course, including like a curse of higher genus, right? Just suggest, so you can make the points on P. And you do this theory. So, but I really have to warn you, just the marginal space of stable pairs is very complicated. So what we're doing is just, this kind of thing is just one irreducible component.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the things of the boundary.
Yeah. Because the boundary which corresponds to all Matroid decompositions of just to take it like a. It's just very recent thing, I think. Just talk to Alexei, maybe he has examples, but Of course. In fact, just in algebraic geometry, like in theory of algebraic surfaces, very often just what we do, I think we consider the marginal space of algebraic surface, you pick up divisor from canonical system, canonical class, okay? And consider the pairs of your surface plus canonical divisor, and do the marginal space. And this is exactly what's marginal space of pairs, but surfaces are very, very tricky, I think. Just nobody just really constructed nice marginal space of algebraic surfaces. I think it has a lot of singularities, but yeah, just completely open. I think this is completely a new subject, I think, just in.
Another question?
Yeah, I think it's this condition about ampleness, I think, just will imply this kind of thing. So just it's equivalent to, like it's completely equivalent to Manfred definition. And I put this condition, canonical class plus this boundary is ample, that it eliminates all finite automorphous group. It's really a stability condition. Yeah. It's really very nice. It's really exactly generalized this, for example, Manfred's dealing space MGM, DM space, which not different DM, right? DM space here, dealing Manfred space, MGM bar, I think just it's really generalized to. But I think the hyperplanar is the first case which has been worked out, or just we can really kind of see really what's happening, of course.
One more question, Mike? Do you know anything about the
fundamentals of the DM? Yeah, I had no, just thanks to you guys who invited me, I start thinking about this kind of thing. But I didn't have to really time, I think. I think because it's just exactly just preparing this talk, I started thinking about it. Yes, completely open. It's very interesting, I think. Just because this is what you can do, I think, just you really see again how which numbers have to put, and just it's really kind of it's very nice, I think. Just so this will.
All right, let's thank the speaker. Yeah.
Was I faster than you?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
I
you didn't write it. You were.